You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
Revelation 20 says, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth." Why would God allow Satan to be released? What purpose does it serve? Well, stay with us to hear the answer to these questions and more on today's program.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
You're listening to the question and answer program with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who for over 30 years answered the questions of his listeners. This program's a ministry of the Through the Bible Radio Network. The Old Testament has very little to say about heaven and hell, so questions often come up in regard to Old Testament personalities. Nebuchadnezzar, for instance. A listener in Knoxville, Tennessee asks about him. He says, "Do you think that King Nebuchadnezzar was saved, or did he perish in hell?" And then he asks about a rich ruler who died and went to Sheol in the book of Ezekiel. He says, "Would you relate the after-death concept in Ezekiel to other references to hell in the New Testament?"
Yes, I'd be delighted to do that, and you apparently are confused, because when you make the statement that he perished in hell, hell hasn't been open to do business. If you were with us when we went through Revelation, you'll find out that hell was not opened up till you get to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And today, people, when they die, Christians at the present, go immediately to be with Christ. In the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus said, in Abraham's bosom, and that was part of Sheol, as the Old Testament has it. And we find when you get to the New Testament that believers now go immediately to be with Christ. But the lost still go to that place in Sheol, or Hades, or however you want to speak of it, that part where the lost go, and no one goes directly to hell today. So when anyone says today to some person, tell them where to go to, well, you could just tell them that the place hasn't been opened yet. You wouldn't be able to go there anyway right now. So that is something that needs to be cleared up, because here the judgment is not a judgment of hell, it's a judgment here upon this earth. And the one that he's talking about is in both the 32nd and 33rd chapters of Ezekiel here, as Pharaoh in Egypt. And he speaks of the Assyrian that is coming down, and you evidently consider him Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm not going to find fault with that, but the point is that the Pharaoh is going to be judged and is going to really be brought low and actually down to Sheol. But that's not hell. He's going to be brought down to the grave. He's going to be judged in this life, and he'll lose his exalted position. And that is, I think, all you can make out of that. I have before me my volume 3 of Through the Bible, Messages Given on Radio, of the 31st and 32nd. Chapters of Ezekiel, and I make it very clear in that. Let me just read this comment that we have on the 24th verse in the 32nd chapter of Ezekiel. "There is Elam and all her multitude round about her grave. You see, the body was put in the grave, but they've gone to another place, to Sheol, the unseen world. Our Lord Jesus called it the place of torment for those who are lost. The saved are in the section which is called Abraham's bosom. Then later, to the repentant thief on the cross, he called it paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here are others Pharaoh finds in Sheol." And you have here Meshach and Tubal, Edom, and several others that are mentioned here. So that, to answer your question here, that Nebuchadnezzar did not perish in hell. And the reference here actually is to Pharaoh in these two chapters.
The same listener asks, "Would you help me to understand what God is telling Christians in the book of Revelation about the release of Satan in the final rebellion against God. Please explain why he's released.
First of all, let me say that the best explanation that I know of was given by Dr. Chafer. Someone asked him the question, why was Satan released the second time? And Dr. Chafer said, well, if you'll tell me why he was released for the first time, I'll tell you why he was released the second time. Because obviously it's for the same reason. It's difficult to understand why the devil, after he got him in the bottomless pit, why in the world did he release them? I think that we could come up with an adequate explanation of that. And I think that it's part of the test that mankind is under today. And that is the final test. Because, you see, a great many people today and right now, the popular philosophy is, and if you want to know what liberal is, liberalism is, in a nutshell, here it is, to try to make a utopia on this earth today. And they believe they can do it. They believe that human nature is such that it is like a flower bed, that if you just give it a chance, improve conditions of man and get rid of poverty and give him everything that he needed, that man will just flower out. Well, that's been tried in several places, and instead of beautiful flowers coming up like a mass of petunias with all that sweet aroma, why, a bunch of stink weeds came up, and that wasn't very nice. And they found out that does not work. Well, liberalism's desire is that if you have just perfect conditions here on the earth, man will just be wonderful people. Well, the thing of it is, it's not man's environment that's the problem. Man has created the environment that's on this earth now, and it's because of what's in his own heart. Man is a lost creature on this earth, and that's what God's been trying to tell the human race now for some time, that we are a lost race. We need to be saved. We need to shape up. We need to learn to live for God and get this rebellion out of our hearts and our lives and learn to love the Lord our God and our neighbor too, by the way. And it's hard to learn to love some neighbors too. But that is the thing. And so why is God going to turn Satan loose? Because there are a group of people that have come through the millennium and everything was just wonderful on this earth. It was indeed the millennium. And you'd think that would make them all right then. But the minute Satan is turned loose, he finds out he's got quite a following in that crowd. The heart of man has not been changed. And I think that's the primary reason that Satan will be released, in that to reveal the heart of man.
Luke 23:33 identifies the place when Jesus was crucified as Calvary. Calvary is the Greek word for the place of a skull. It's Golgotha in Hebrew. Several places have been identified as Calvary. Some say that it is Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered a sacrifice in place of Isaac. And others identify it as a place known today as Gordon's Calvary. A listener in Westland, Michigan says, I visited Jerusalem and was shown the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which tradition says is Golgotha. And then others say it is Gordon's Calvary. What's your view?
Well, may I say that the place has not been historically established as the place where the Lord Jesus was crucified. As a result, why the Catholic churches, and that would be the Catholic churches, Roman, Russian, all of them have a little different viewpoint of where Calvary really was. And the one that they have picked up, that is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, is inside the walls of Jerusalem. And we're definitely told that outside of the walls is where he died. So we have a conflict there with that place. Now, General Gordon, a Britisher, did a great deal of study in the Jerusalem area to try to establish that. And the place that we know today as Gordon's Calvary, to me, seems to be the more ideal place. There are several reasons for that. To begin with, it's outside of the old walls of Jerusalem. In fact, it's outside of the present walls, whereas the other Church of the Holy Sepulchre is not outside. Now, there is something else. It is the place of a skull. When I first started going over there, and that's been quite a few years ago now, the place of a skull was very clear. But I have noticed in the past, well, the last time I was there, it's not as clear as it was, which leads me to believe that somebody's been attempting to destroy and distort the look of a skull. But the first time I was there, it certainly was as clear as the noonday sun. It looked like a skull. And above there is where General Gordon felt Calvary was. I've been up there on that spot, and very candidly, I feel like that is more apt to be the place. And the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is built on the inside, and everything that is of tradition has been removed so that you haven't anything there now that would indicate just where he was crucified. And there's another thing that I think we need to note about Gordon's Calvary is right near it, in fact, just down the hill, is the place of the empty tomb. And there's several of them there. I personally do not know that the one that has been chosen is the right one or not. It may be that none of the others there, but certainly in that area you have these caves that were used, and certainly Joseph's burying place was in that area. And again, all of that lends credence to the fact that Gordon, at least, is closer than anyone else has been to the historical spot where Jesus was crucified.
Some time ago during the Sunday sermon, we played a series of messages by Dr. McGee on angels. In recent years, there's been an increased interest in this subject. So a listener in Dinuba, California says that he heard Dr. McGee say that angels do not minister to men in this present age. He asks, could you please explain how they minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation, as Hebrews 1:14 states?
Yes, I'll be delighted to do that. Now, there is a tendency today to take scriptures out of their context. That is to take a verse of scripture and actually make it mean something that never was intended for it to mean. And certainly that's true of this scripture. Now, let's go here to this verse of scripture that you give me, Hebrews 1:14. Let me read here, 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, again, if you had my book on Hebrews that's found in the last volume, volume 5 of our Through the Bible series, you would find there that this is a quotation out of the Old Testament. In fact, several quotations from the Psalms are here in this first chapter. Now, I won't go into any detail, but let me say this that will give you a background. In this first chapter, he is establishing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who he is. He's not attempting to give you a lesson on angels. He's not attempting to say angels are ministering to Christians today. That's not what he's saying in Hebrews. What he's saying in Hebrews is the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and these angels minister, and they minister to him. And it's an Old Testament scripture to begin with, and it has reference to Old Testament saints, and angels did minister to them. But when you come to the New Testament, we do not find them. And this here that you give, like the other passages that are generally quoted, they have reference to the Old Testament. They do not have reference today to Christians. Now, the reason that I'm a little insistent on this, because there's so many people today like to talk about a guardian angel, and they feel like they've got a guardian angel. And today the church has ignored one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. And you know what that is? That is the indwelling Spirit of God in a believer. Paul said to those carnal Corinthians, what know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you, friends, do you think you're going to need an angel to watch over you from the outside? The Holy Spirit, and give honor to him. This idea today, Paul in Colossians warns about the worshiping of angels. Let's not get into that habit today of having a big cloud of angels. That goes back to Romanism, and it's not today for Christians. And we should insist today that the Holy Spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide Christians. You talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being rejected. Even the church today rejects the Holy Spirit, the one who indwells believers. And that's the reason that I'm insistent on we do not need the ministry of angels today. And the passage of Scripture that you've given me does not teach that, you see. It has reference to the Old Testament, and he's merely quoting it to prove the deity of Christ. He's not trying to prove to you the ministry of angels for us today at all.
We turn our attention now to this question from a listener in Escondido, California, who writes, I heard you say that all we would be doing in heaven is praising God, and I'm all for that. But won't we be learning new things, or will we already know everything?
Well, let me say that, first of all, let's put what I said back in context. It was in our study on the book of Revelation, and it was one of the many scenes of heaven. And we found out that every time in the book of Revelation you have a scene in heaven, people are either getting down on their knees or getting up off their knees from praising the Lord. So I called attention to that. Certainly, if you're not praising the Lord down here, you're certainly going to be doing it up there if you go to heaven. That's one thing for sure. But that doesn't shut out or mean that we'll not be doing other things. I'm sure the Lord would get tired of us in front of him making obeisance every few minutes. And I'm sure that we'll have plenty to do in heaven. I actually believe that we are going to be put in some kind of supervision in God's universe. Paul, he said, why don't you know we're going to judge angels? And that means by judging them would be to have supervision over them. So in this vast universe of God, I'm sure that there are going to be many things for us to be doing. I expect to be busier in heaven than I've ever been here on earth. I have to take time out about 8 hours a day to rest up in order to keep going. In heaven, it won't be necessary to take out the 8 hours for rest, but I think that it'll be a marvelous opportunity for us to learn and to grow. We're to grow in grace down here, but some of us are not growing very fast. And up there, we're going to have an opportunity, I think, to make up for it. And so, as far as heaven is concerned, we're not given details, yet we have every reason to believe that we're going to be busier there than we've ever been down here on the earth.
Finally, here's an interesting question from a listener in Augusta, Arkansas. Perhaps you've wondered about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The question is, did the Holy Spirit indwell prophets and priests before Christ came to earth, or was God's presence with them in other ways?
Well, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament seems to have come upon the men and women for a particular service. Let me give you an illustration of that. I want to go back to the 31st chapter of Exodus. Now, I didn't intend at first to do this. I'm going to have to find the place. And my Bible's getting a little old and a little shaky, and I have a little difficulty getting around in it now. The pages are not like they used to be. Now, I want to turn to Exodus 31, and let me begin reading there at the very first verse. Now, again, I'm having trouble of getting right to it. Here we are. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He is the first Ben-Hur, by the way, in the scripture. Ben-Hur means son of Hur. So he is the son here of Hur, at least a grandson. And he says, And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Now God says that his Spirit had come upon Bezalel, who had charge of building all of the tabernacle, the furniture of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle itself. And this man, in order to do that, the way God wanted it done, the Spirit of God came upon him for that kind of a ministry. Now that seems to have been the method from the time God called Abraham on through the Old Testament. The Spirit of God would come upon men for a particular ministry. And the Spirit of God came upon David. The Spirit of God actually came upon Saul at the very beginning. Now, before Abraham, when you get back at the time of the flood, you remember that God said to Noah, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." In other words, there was a particular ministry of the Holy Spirit then. And that's the thing that made the judgment of the flood. It seems to be a tremendous judgment. Imagine just destroying the population of the world. There are a great many people getting so excited today about this nuclear world that we live in that you can exterminate the human family. Well, God did it one time, my friend, and it was a tremendous judgment. Why? Why, the Spirit of God in that day was working with man. Why, Noah knew a man who knew Adam. Now, when you're that close to the beginning and the mooring mask of inspiration, I want to tell you, you're responsible to God. The Spirit of God was working in a different way then. But he said, "My Spirit will not always strive with man as it is today." So that judgment was a judgment that measures up to the sin. Those people had an opportunity that I think even the average person today does not have. The entire world turned it down, and I tell you, the judgment came. And there's coming another judgment of fire, by the way. I don't know that it'll be nuclear, but I think it'll probably be as bad, if not even worse. That judgment will come upon the earth someday, but I don't think it'll come as long as the church is here. In fact, I'm almost sure of that. So that the Holy Spirit came upon the prophets in the Old Testament and those that God was using for a particular and peculiar ministry. Now today, the Spirit of God regenerates and makes every person who trusts Christ a son of God. And when they do that, they put them in the body of believers and they put them in as a member of the body to function. And we are to function. And how are we to do that? Well, we're told that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, a great many people today take alcohol to help them meet the problems and the difficulties of this life down here. They feel like the need of help. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I need help. Well, God's provided it for us today. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And he makes that kind of a contrast. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. After all, you may get a little wine and it may help you perform some task or to do something. But I tell you, the morning after the night before, I want to tell you, is going to be a rough time. And finally, you'll become an alcoholic and have no power at all. So he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, that's the way that you and I are to live the Christian life, and that's the way that we're to do what God wants us to do down here in this world today. You've asked, may I say, a very important question, and we appreciate you asking it and sending it in to us.
If you'd like to know more about any of these issues that we discussed today or any other subject, then we'd like to send you our resource catalog, which will provide you with a listing of many of the materials by Dr. McGee that we make available to our listeners. To receive your catalog, contact us anytime, leaving a voicemail request with your name, address, and the call letters of this station. For a more complete listing of our products that we offer, visit our online bookstore. Was there any answer today that maybe was especially meaningful to your study? If so, you may want to get a copy of today's program on CD. Ask about it when you call. Now be sure to join us this week on the Through the Bible radio program as we continue to roll along on the Bible bus, teaching through the whole Word of God book by book and chapter by chapter. If this question and answer program is a blessing to you, would you write and let us know? You know, the only way that we know if these programs are meaningful to our listeners is if they tell us. So take time today and send us your thoughts. To contact us, call 1-800-65-BIBLE Monday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time, or write to Questions and Answers in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1, or visit our website at www.ttb.org. Now we pray that God will answer all your questions and solve all your problems.
Jesus, take it home. Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. Be washed it white as snow.
This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Through the Bible Radio Network.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings, greetings, in the name of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Hollow Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number that you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we praise the Lord out there once again in Radio Land. This is your radio pastor, James Ross, and we thank the Lord for this glorious opportunity once again to come into your homes, nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. He's magnificent, and he loves you. And the reasons for him coming is to redeem mankind back to the Father. So I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there once again in Radio Land, and continue to correspond with us via telephone or even letters. The address has been given by Minister Gloria Ross, and I just want you to do is to continue to converse or call. We are there for your need. Father God, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for this glorious opportunity, the platform that you've allowed us to have, that we can reach souls for the kingdom of God. You have said in your word that he that wins souls is wise. So, Father, we depend in the name of Jesus upon the Holy Spirit at this hour, in this place, at this time, that we are able to minister to those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches in these last days, and not only the church, but even those that do not know you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring forth a strong conviction in the hearts of the unbeliever. Touch the backslider right now, right where they are, and Lord, bring them into the kingdom of God. I thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, today we want to look at the Word of God, and we want you to follow us scripturally. Praise God. We want to tell you about the repentance, and that is you giving your heart, repenting of your sins, and giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the blood of Jesus has power to transform your life, to redeem you, and to cleanse you from all sin. So what we want to do today, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, I want to take you into, first of all, multiple scriptures today, and I pray that I know they won't be taken out of context, because as we read them, the Holy Spirit will divinely guide us into all truth. That is his whole purpose. Is he is the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. So we want to look at, first of all, in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I want to look at verse 9, because God has given us promises. He's made a promise to us all, praise the Lord, if we believe and trust in him, not allowing the adversary to try and dissuade us from believing what the truth of our Father has said to us. Now, he's promised us, and he will keep his promises, because he is a promise keeper. He will not tell us one thing and do something else. He is all truth and all faithful, and he does exactly what he said that he would do. And I want to let you know today that he is not slack concerning his promises. Let's look at what the Word of God says. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Word of God tells us that the Lord, you see, men may be slack and men may make promises to you, but the God in whom I serve and everyone out there that believe and trust in him, he is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. God, whatever he has said, he will bring it to pass. So the scripture tells us that the Lord, he didn't say man, he said that the Lord, we're talking about the creator of the universe, he says that he is not slack concerning his promises, as some men, mortal men, count slackness. He's not slack like that. Whatever he said and whatever he promised, he will bring it to pass. So the Word of God tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness or slack. That means that they don't fulfill what they say. They will tell you one thing and do something else. But the Lord is long-suffering. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that everyone out there in Radio Land today that you should give praises to our God because he's long-suffering. Many of us, we were going our own way and doing our own thing, and God still loved us. He's long-suffering. He knows that, well, in this particular time, when it is right, they'll come to their senses and realize that I am God, and I'm God all by myself, and I'll bring them in to the Ark of the Covenant, or perhaps into the kingdom of God. So what he said is that he's long-suffering. But listen to what he said. And he's not willing. See, it's not his will that any out there in Radio Land perish. I want to say that again. He's long-suffering, and he's not willing that any perish. But all, A-L-L, all, that means everybody in whom he created, he's given them the opportunity. He's made it possible that they can come to repentance. That's wonderful. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. Praise God. He is long-suffering. My Lord, I know he waited a long time for me, and I know that he's long-suffering. And the reason being is that everybody, everywhere, has sinned. And God is long-suffering. So, Minister Glory, listen, you're going to read there in Romans, praise God. We want to look at it because it's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance. And repentance is part of changing your mind, the way that you now think, and start thinking toward the things of God. Give God a chance. Let him become who he says he is in your life. He loves you. And we've all have missed the mark. We've all sinned. But God is long-suffering. He's waiting for you and all others out there that do not know him as Lord and Savior of your life. He's waiting.
In Romans 3:23, it reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
All have sinned. So if God is not willing that any perish, then he wants all to come to repentance. But we know that everyone's not coming to repentance. But that is not our decision. The word has gone out. God has laid open the table that you and I and everyone else will have the opportunity to give their lives unto him. There's no force in the matter. The Father sent the love letter, and he's given us the opportunity that we open up our heart and receive him as Lord and Savior of our lives through repenting of everything that we've done. So the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to tell you, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bring forth deliverance and healing in your life. Praise God. You can sit there in your home. You can be in your easy chair. You can go about your daily chores doing what you want to do. But I want to tell you, the blood is still available. The blood is powerful. The blood is able to cleanse you from all sin. Minister Gloria, would you read that next verse there? Praise
Being
God.
Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Listen to what the word says. Being justified by his grace. Amen?
Yes. By not his, guilty. That's right. By his grace. Amen.
By his grace.
Mm-hmm.
This grace is unmerited favor.
Amen.
Of mankind. Of God toward mankind. I like to say it is the goodness of God.
Yes.
That's given to undeserving people.
Amen.
We don't deserve what we have, but thank God that he is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness.
Amen.
He loves us. So Minister Gloria says that, read that second, 24th verse again.
Being justified freely by his grace.
Being justified freely by his grace. Other words, being found not guilty. That's an old Elizabethan word there, an English word. It says being justified by his grace. By his grace. Other words, we were found not guilty to what Jesus Christ has done. And the thing of it is that we turn our heart to him. And many of you out there in Radio Land today, you know that what you're doing is not right. And I'm not trying to castigate anyone. I just want to make it known that God has said in his word that he is not slack concerning his promises. He loves you, and he's promised you eternal life to everyone that would believe and trust in him, that would receive his son as Lord and Savior of their lives. We serve a good God,
yes.
Merciful and compassionate, loving and kind. And right where you are, he is able to give a strong visitation to change your heart if you open it up. He stands there at that door of your heart. He's not going to force himself in. What he would do is wait for the invitation that you open up your heart and ask him to come in.
Amen.
So being justified by his grace, Lord, have mercy upon us. Being justified by his grace, what's happening?
Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Through the redemption, through the Redeemer, through the one that is able to redeem mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ is able. I want to tell you that today, he's able. And this is why the promises of God is waiting right there for you and everyone else that will believe and trust in him according to what his word says. The word of God tells us in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it tells us that now unto him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is able, praise God, to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Glory to God. We serve a mighty God, and he's able. I said he's able. You may not be able, but he's able to do the miraculous. Praise God. Minister Glory, would you read the next verse to our radio listeners?
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
Good God Almighty, let us sling the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Put the blood everywhere.
Amen.
Glory to God. Cover our children with the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Let's put this blood, glory to God, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to what was done at the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
The blood has power. Glory to the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, God has made the promise. We will receive the promise. We will come into an understanding that the promises of God is yea and amen. And once we receive the promise, the word of God tells us that being justified, I said justified, then once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looked upon as not being guilty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all of you out there in Radio Land, I want to tell you right now that the blood still has power. The blood has the power to bring forth redemption and the forgiveness of your sins. All God expects us to do is to repent and come in out of the rain. Come in unto the Ark of the Covenant. Come and receive his Son as Lord and Savior of our lives. Glory to God. He that has the Son has life, and he that have not the Son have not life. I want to tell you, they're the walking dead out there right now. But I tell you, God loves you, and he wants to put life in you so that you will have eternal life. Glory to God. There are many people out there, Minister Glory, that are walking up and down, but they're the walking dead. You see, because they don't have the Spirit of the living God. They have life, but they don't have eternal life.
Yes.
And the most important thing that I understand, and I see it on day-to-day basis, is that everybody, they make preparation. They prepare for weddings. They prepare to go on vacation. They prepare hurricane season and all the other things that takes place. They make preparation. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that they don't make preparation for, and that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening out there in Radio Land? And the God that I serve, he has promised us, and he's coming back. Glory to God. He's coming back. So all of the preparation to go on vacation and to do all these natural things, but the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He shed his precious blood there on Calvary's cross for all of your sins. All God expects is repentance. Glory to God. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mr. Glory, before we go any further in the third chapter there, in St. John, the third chapter, in verse 16, it says that God so loved the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a promise to us that he gave. Mm-hmm. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. Mm-hmm. Long-suffering, not willing that any perish, mm-hmm. just all would come to repentance. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Right. And that's why in verse 17 it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. The most important thing of this broadcast is to win souls for the kingdom of God. And in the interim there, many people that have tuned into the broadcast, you may be born again, but the message is to us all,
yes.
Stay born again.
Amen.
Not allow anything to distract you or take you out of what God has done. But even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying for you, because the God in whom I serve, he's long-suffering.
Yes.
He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. And I want to tell you, he make everything come to pass, the things that he has said. Minister Glory, let's look a little further down there in Romans, the third chapter there.
Yes.
Praise God, because being justified by grace, glory to God, the one in whom has brought forth the opportunity for us all. You don't need to perish. God never intended for you to perish. He sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him or receive him will have eternal life. That's the promise of God. And God will make that promise good, providing that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's waiting. open arms. He wants to save you. But the only way that one can come is that there must be a change of your way of thinking and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. I hear people talk about, well, the thief on the cross, he didn't go through this, that, or the other. But I want to tell you that his fate was sealed. I want to say his fate was sealed. He couldn't come down and be baptized. He couldn't come into the church and ask a minister, well, tell me about the divine plan of salvation. He was right there. He was paying a price for whatever crime that he committed. But I thank God that Jesus promised him, when the thief said, you've done nothing wrong, we deserve what we are getting. But the day that you go into your kingdom, remember me. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Glory to God. Oh, God doesn't want you to perish. He loves you. Praise God. And if the thief on the cross was the first to go into paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, you can as well not go into paradise now, but you can go into the kingdom of heaven. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So, Minister Glory, read a little more there in Romans there.
It says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Every one of us. Praise God. Peter was telling us all that the promises of God, God is not slack concerning those promises.
No.
And he's not willing, you know, Minister Glory,
mm-hmm.
God is not willing that any perish. You have the walking dead out there,
yes,
that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I don't say this with a great deal of joy, but the point of my statement is that Jesus came and died for the sins of the world. You don't have to perish. You choose to perish if you get caught up and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The promises of God is right there. God will make it good. No matter what's going on in your life, God will make it good, providing that you change your way of thinking. And that's what Peter is telling us, that he's not willing that any perish, but that all, that's A-L-L, that means everybody, because everybody have sinned. He said that all come to repentance. God never intended for you to perish. He didn't create you to perish. He created you so that you could worship him and have eternal life.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the most important thing that we all have and can understand, that God loved us so much, mm-hmm, until he gave. Glory to God. What are you plan on giving today? You have the opportunity every day that the Lord wakes you up and let you see this new day with new mercies. What are you going to do with it? My God, what are you going to do with it? His divine instruction tells us that he's not willing. Well, are you willing to perish? God says he's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Well, I want to tell you today that you can come to repentance.
Yes.
You can change your way of thinking. That's what repentance is. You turn 180 degrees from the direction that you're now going in and go toward God. Change your mind, your way of thinking, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God never intended for us to perish,
nope,
but to have everlasting life. Because if it wasn't so, he would not have sent his son Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He would have not sent Jesus, and he gave us all the opportunity. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Yes, it is.
And we all have the opportunity, and God will never go against the will of anyone.
No.
He laid the table of salvation out where everyone will have that opportunity. Oh, the Father has prepared the table.
Yes.
My God, come and dine. Whoever wants to come and dine, that's the whole thing that the Father has done. He sent his son Jesus, and he said, and whosoever believeth, whosoever believeth in him, though. See, not in the church, not in your denomination, not in your own way of thinking, but in him, he said, you will never perish.
Never perish.
But have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's promises, all of his promises are yea and amen.
In him. Amen.
I won't tell you anything that's not biblically structured. I want to tell you today that the word tells us that, number one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God has said through Apostle Peter that he is not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Repentance is simply changing your mind, your way of thinking, and going in another direction. God loves you. Well, I want to extend an invitation out there with the last 30 seconds or so that we have, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't know him. Minister Glory, would you tell the folks how they can receive Jesus?
It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Mm.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, hallelujah, shall be saved, all by faith in Jesus Christ.
Praise
Amen.
God. Call on his name. He's right there, right where you are. Call on him and say, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I love you. I receive you into my heart as Lord and Savior of my life. God bless you all out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.